Okay, so let's continue. We learned this morning, we're continuing on Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. We're doing the second half of the Amud today. So we're going to be moving now. The topics we're going to be covering are the readings and the Shira on Shabbos. And then we're going to move from that into the movement of the Shechina, how the Shechina moved away from Yerushalayim, and we're going to talk about how the Sanhedrin also moved away from Yerushalayim eventually in all these instances. Okay, so that's the topics that we have ahead of us. So let's start at the very beginning. It's relatively a new topic now. we're continuing in this in terms of theme from the idea that the Levim had a specific Shira that they said on some of the Karbanos. So the Gemara now asks the question, starting in the middle of the page. The first in the line is Bemusay Shabbos de Shabsa. So it says Bemusay de Shabsa Maha Hayu Omrim. What was their Shira on the Musaf of Shabbos? Because we know that it had a different Shira than it would be the morning one or the afternoon one. Amarav Anon Barav Amarav Haziv Lach. You would say Haziv Lach. What is that? That's an acronym for. Take a look at if you just move left towards Tosos. Tosos is right there. Haziv Lach. Hazinu. This is Parshas Hazinu, which is, what is Haziv? Hazinu, Zachor, Yarkiveu, Vayar, Lule, Kiyodin. So, Haziv Lach is a breakup of Parshas Hazinu. I actually did print out one and I left it at home, but it would be nice, it's nice to see how it's almost like every six or so psukim, as you know, Hazinu is in two columns. So essentially, every six or so psukim, there's a breakup of the psukim in a very particular fashion. Why does it need to be that that this breakup is necessary? Why do we need to have this particular breakup? So take a look. The Gemara actually continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav, Keder Shecholkin Kan, Chol Chalukim Beis Hakneses." The same way that they divide up here is the Beis HaMikdash in the Shira on the Musaf. That would be the same paradigm or the same model of breakup in the Shul. What does it mean in the Shul? So Mi'as Hashem, in a few weeks' time when we learn Ha'azino, that's the way it's going to be broken up. Okay, so that means to say this is the only way you can cut up Parsha Ha'azino. Why does the Gemara need to go to this length to tell us this? What was that?
As far as the Aliyah?
As far as Aliyah. So the Magen Avraham actually paskins. On the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham says that's why even if we have 13 bar mitzvahs and 7 ofrufs, which could possibly happen, we can't add any ha'sofos in the first 6 aliyahs of Ha'azidu because it's a specific place where we divide it up. Why would we be dividing up the Ha'azidu specifically in this way? So there's a few halachas, and one of them is the halacha you can't really end in the middle of an area of toichacha of rebuke, which is why you know the sixth aliyah of Kisava, which we're going to get to the poor bar mitzvah boys, and then in Bechul Koisai, you know, we have those long aliyahs, the eagles included in the Sheni in the Kisisa. We try to include everything so we don't have to end in the middle of it. Ha'azinu is different. Ha'azinu is actually structured in such a way that you stop at specific points. The Rambam says, in order for us to reflect and do tshuva, okay. Which is, by the way, if you go to, let's say you go to the YU Beis Medrash for the week of Ha'azinu in the mornings on Monday and Thursday, you'll see that in fact they don't, they break up the regular aliyahs during the week differently.
They don't do that first.
Exactly. So they don't do the first stop. Which is in this. If you look at the back of the Siddurim, there's 3 micro aliyahs, like a regular weekday. They don't do the first stop because they're in the Haziv Lach paradigm. Because the Gemara says this is the way you need to do it. Okay, so you can't break it up. So it's going to be a little longer. So it's essentially the first 3 aliyahs of the Haziv Lach. Okay.
The first one that has to stop. In it.
Correct. Exactly. Correct. Ha.
So
exactly. That's ha.
A Z instead of Haziv.
Exactly.
So it'd be very unusual to have the verse of leaving Hazino.
Sometimes you can't work it out otherwise. But the point is that you can't make any unnecessary breaks that are not described as such. What I'd like to just put in the back of our minds is why does that create the format for Shabbos Musaf? Meaning, why is it that this becomes, why is Ha'azinu that the paradigm for the Musaf? Let's go a little further and answer the question. The Gemara asks the following: B'minchas Shabbos Ma'al Yomrim. What would they say on the Mincha Shabbos? What does that mean? What does it mean in Mincha Shabbos? The Karban during the Mincha, which is Tamid Shal Ben Arabayim. Okay, so what do they do on the Tamid Shal Ben Arabayim on Shabbos? Okay? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Az Yashir Umichamaychav Az Yashir. I would sing Az Yashir Umichamaychav and Az Yashir. Does that mean to say that they would go ABA? Answer is no, it's ABC over here, because the second Az Yashir is referring to the Shira of what's called the Shiras Be'er. Az Yashir B'nei Israel is a Shira Zos, Ali Be'er Enula, Be'er Chafuru Asarim, Parshas Chukas. Which means, that's interesting over here, what you're seeing is emerging is, on Shabbos, the accompanying Mizmorim are Shirois. Mizmor Shir Ligam HaShabbos is attributed to Adam HaRishon in the morning. That's the one in the morning. Then you have the Shira of Ha'azino. Then you have the Shira of Az Yashir. And Micha Micha apparently is a subsection of that. And then Az Yashir is by the Be'er. So Shabbos is fully ensconced in Shirim. So now the Gemara asks a very practical question. Ibai lehu, hani kulo b'chad Shabbosa amri lehu, or idil kol Shabbosa b'Shabbosa amri chad. So you're just giving us a lot of work to read or sing on a regular Karbanos. Do you include all of these on the one Shabbos? Or is it no, you do each section every Shabbos? So the proof text is Tashma. We quote a tradition of a brisa which says, "Detanya Amar Rabbi Yosi ad sharishana ameres achas shnei chazeres shtayim." When you finish the first cycle of one, the other one finishes a cycle of two. Okay, she says, "Gemara shmamina kol shabbos shabbos amri chad shmamina." It sounds like you do one every Shabbos. How does that work? What's the logic over here? When you finish one of the one, you've completed two of the other. So let's think about how this works. What this means is that if you count up carefully, the Musaf has how many paragraphs of Shira technically? We just described. Az Yashir, Mircha Moicha, Az Yashir is three. When we described, so that was the Mincha of Shabbos. What does the Musaf of Shabbos have? It is Aziv Lach. How much is Aziv Lach?
Six.
So the Gemara is saying, when you finish one of one cycle, you've had two of the other cycle, which means when you finish the Musaf cycle of six, you've already finished two cycles of Mincha, which means what's really going on? You read one paragraph per Shabbos of each of them. So it's going to go first Aliyah of Hazinu on the Musaf, Az Yashir. Then second, the next Shabbos, then the second paragraph of Hazinu, then Mikomaycha. Third Shabbos, third paragraph of Hazinu, Az Yashir, second one, which is the Az Yashir of the Be'er. We finished half a cycle of Hazinu and one cycle of the songs at Mincha. The Hazinu continues for another three, and you do another cycle of the Mincha, Az Yashir, Mikomaycha, Az Yashir. Okay, so every time you finish the Azino cycle of paragraphs, you'll finish two cycles of the paragraphs of Mincha, which is the way that brisa indicates to us that it was paragraph by paragraph, which is a very fascinating and the way that it's constructed. That, by the way, doesn't mean to say that they only said that paragraph, because it could, as the Gemara in Tamid says, if they finish the paragraph and that void is still going on, they repeat the paragraph. But the point is they're repeating the same paragraph as opposed to going further. That's what that seems to be indicated over here. Good. Weiter. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Eser ma'asos nasa shchina mi'mikrai. We know from Pesukim that the shchina took 10 resting stops. Here we're going to describe them. They are u'kenegdon gosel sanhedrin mi'gemara. And we're going to learn that there's going to be 10 traditions of where the sanhedrin left. Eser ma'asos nasa shchina mi'krai. The 10 trips of the shchina are the following: mi'kapores likruv, from the kapores. From that's the cover of the Aaron to the Kruv, to one of the Kruvim. And there's a dispute of the next Girsa, if this is included, me Kruv le Kruv, does it jump from one Kruv to the other? Rashi doesn't have it, some people do have it. It must have indicated there was sort of a high level of one Kruv and another, potentially. Umi Kruv le Miftan, from the Kruv to the entrance of the temple. Me Liftan le Chotzer, and then moving outwards to the Chotzer, to the courtyard. Me Chotzer le Mizbeach. Then limiting itself down not to the entire courtyard but to the mizbeach achetzan, mizbeach lagag. The mizbeach would be to the roof of the temple, migag lechayma, from the roof of the temple to the wall of the temple. This is not the kotel. Kotel is the outer containing box. This means the wall of the Beis Hamikdash. Michayma la'ir, from the wall to the city of Jerusalem, mi'ir lahar. And from the city, limiting itself down to the Har Habayis. Do you see that's the same kind of thing? It was the entire area, and then limiting to a specific area. And finally, Mihar the Midbar, and from the mountain to the Midbar. Midbar also Yashub Mkoma, and then it stayed in its place in the Midbar Shenemar Elech Ashuvo El Mekami. I will now return to my place. Is the last stage of this process. Now the Gemara has to give source texts for each. We're going to do this very quickly, and then consider this in context. Mikapor is a kruv, mikruv lekruv, mikruv leliftan. The first stage of this first three trips. Tichsiv v'nadi lecham sham v'dibarti itzchom ala kapores. Hashem says, I will interact with you from above the kapores. That's the ideal system, where Hashem emanates from directly above the kapores. That's the closest we can get to Him. We know that Hashem also lives, so to speak, above the Kruvim, which is the second stage we described. It sounds like from this passage it's describing that Hashem is moving to the entrance of the temple, which again is a movement outwards. Okay, this is being described in Yechezkel. Yechezkel is over here describing the picture of the destruction. Okay, so that's why it's mentioned over here. Now Gomorrah continues. Miftan lachotzer dichsiv ayimare habayis es hanan vachotzer mala es noiga kavod Hashem echotzer lamizbeach. So this pasuk is describing how the entire chotzer included Hashem, which is interesting because that sounds like a good thing, but we're being told that this is actually a negative thing, because what's happening over here is Yechezkel is describing how Hashem is no longer in the contained space of the internal chambers. Hashem is moving outwards. Okay, and again, this is in Yechezkel Perek Yud, which is the description of him witnessing from the heavens, the destruction is pulled in from Babel to witnesses. I witnessed Hashem standing on the Mizbeach. This is a pasuk in Amos. Amos lived much earlier. It's probably talking about a prophecy that Amos is talking about in the future of destruction. Mizbeach lagag, from the altar to the roof. Tichsiv toiv lasheves el al pinas agag. It is good to stay on the roof. That is a pasuk, interestingly, in Mishle, which is obviously taken to be the Hashem's movement. Migag v'choyma, from the roof to the wall. Dichsiv v'hine Hashem yitzav al choymas anoch. That Hashem was standing on this wall. This is coming back to Micha. Okay, so I apologize. I'm Amos again. It must be prophetic about the destruction, and we say similarly. Michaim la'ir, from the wall of the temple to the city of Jerusalem. Tichsiv kol Hashem la'ir yikorei. Hashem will be called from the city. This is a pasuk in Micha. Meir lahar, from the city to the Har Abayis, limiting itself down to one mountain in Yerushalayim. As it says, Vayal kvod Hashem al me'al toich ha'ir vayamad al hahar Hashem yikedem el mekoimi. So it sounds like Hashem is limiting himself. Again, this is a pasuk in Yechezkel, as Hashem limits himself down. Again, the pasukim in Yechezkel actually continuous, meaning they're moving. They're consecutive psukim in the Yechezkel Tes Yud Yud Aleph, in the Prakim, and then finally, as we said before, in Mehar LaMidbar, we recreate the same pasuk Tov Sheves Baritz Midbar. It is good to sit in the desert Midbar. Also, VaYoshua B'Mekamet Tuchsev Eilech Hashuva Al Mekami. Hashem returns to His place. It seems that Hashem waited in the Midbar 6 months. It sounds like Hashem sort of waiting and hoping and wishing that Israel, each stage, would actually sort of repent, and Hashem would be able to turn around, and the parent who's leaving the child at home would turn around and be able to be welcomed back in. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. This is the leaving of the Shekhinah. Remember over here that this is the key. That when did this occur? This is which temple we're referring to? Bayis Rishon, right? We're talking about Bayis Rishon, the first temple. And this is the ultimate leaving of the Shekhinah. We know that Kidush Rishon, no, like Kidush Lasid Lavai. Right? The first Kedusha did not remain. Kidush Shnia, Kidush Lasid Lavai. The second Kedusha was, in fact, permanent, which is why there is the Din of Makom HaMikdash today, according to the way we paskin. Whereas the first time, this movement away is part of what we're seeing of Kidush Rishon, like Kidush Lasid Lavai. Okay, which is the losing of the Shekhinah. What's fascinating to us is the parallel, because Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shisha Chadash. Oh, by the way, do we just see an interesting thing as well? Where are the Kruvim? Just for a moment, you know, we were talking about Kaporis to Kruv. Isn't that the same place? So interestingly enough, we're used to thinking of the Aron in the same way as we did in the Mishkan, which wasn't the same way in the Mishkan, and that is that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Aron as we have it in the center of the Kodesh Kodashim, but he also made Kruvim of 10 feet high, golden kruvim. They were 10 feet high, 10 amos high, which stood on the floor. Okay, so there were another set of kruvim which stood on the floor in the Kodesh Kodashim. So what is likely being referred to over here, because in Bayis Rishon, is moving from the Kapoires to outside in the Kodesh Kodashim to these other kruvim. Moreover, interestingly enough, over here, there's a machlokes, but it seems that Yoshiyahu HaMelech actually was goineis the Aaron, according to the opinion that we generally know. There is another opinion. But that means to say that when Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who lived before the destruction of the temple, realized that there was an imminent destruction. It's interesting because he died because he thought that maybe he turned around the Gezerah. But nonetheless, in some foresight, he realized the destruction was going to happen because of his consultation with Chulda HaNeviah, who said that the destruction could not be averted. What did he do? He hid the Aron, which is up till today. Indiana Jones hasn't made it yet. Right? So his hiding the Aron must have been essentially the first stage of this. Okay, if we were to be thinking about this carefully, is the movement to the Kruv, because there's no longer the Aron in its extant position. Let's parallel this. Three lines from the bottom. Amar Yochanan, Shisha Chadoshim Nisag for Shechina LeYisrael B'Midbar. It waited there 6 months. Shenema Yachzru B'Tshuva. Hopefully that they would return in Tshuva. Kevin Shiloi Chazru Amar V'Yaham Tipach Aleim. Hashem says, let it befall upon them. Shenemar Ve'Enei Rishon Tachilena U'Monois Avad Minham V'Tikvosa Mipach Nefesh. And we see over here that Hashem says, you know, I was waiting for Israel to return, and at the end of the day, they turned their back on me. The way this is being described in this pasuk about the Rishayim is that it's referring to the Rishayim who don't have the hope to continue searching. Meaning, it wasn't because we were ignoring Hashem, we didn't have enough hope in ourselves to even think that we could re-engage the Shekhinah. Which is the loss we're talking about. Let's finish this section. Let's just finish this section very quickly. The Gemara says the following. Connecting also Sanhedrin the Gemara. We know that there's a tradition that the Sanhedrin had the same exile. Milishka Sagazis from the first room. That's the room in the temple that was to the left of the Mizbeach where they would judge Lachanus, which is another area outside in the Beis Hamikdash, in the marketplace outside the Beis Hamikdash. Michanus to Yerushalayim, from the Chanus they went to Yerushalayim in the times of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai negotiated that they could go to Yavne Usha. They moved backwards and forwards from Yavne to Usha twice, depending on who was the Nasi at the time, Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Gamliel. It moved backwards from Usha and Yavne. We have a number of Takonos we'll see in the Gemara that are from Usha, a number of them from Yavne. Usha l'Sarafam, Misarafam l'Beis Sharim, Beis Sharim l'Tzipori, Mitzipori l'Tzeveria. Okay, the last three of Beis Sharim, Tzipori, and Tzeveria are where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is sojourned. The Tzeveria, Amukum Mikula, and Tzeveria was the lowest of all of them in terms of, it could be in Rashi, says geographically, but it could also mean in terms of level. Shenema v'shafaltam eretz tadaberi, Rabbi Lazar amesh shesh galuyos. Rabbi Lazar has the contention there were only six journeys. Shenema ki hasach yosh v'morom kirya niskova yashpirena ad aretz yagiena ad afar. There are six descriptions of the dropping, of the lowering, which indicates there were six trips. He's not arguing historically how many trips there were. He is just condensing, as most of the Mepharshim understand, whether going backwards and forwards from Usha and Yavne is considered different, or in Chanos and Yerushalayim are considered different places. That's referring to coming back. Apparently that refers to being in Tveria. What you see over here is just an interesting point, and that is the 10 trips of the Shekhinah, 10 trips of the Sanhedrin, which the Gemara actually uses the word Kenegdon. When did the Sanhedrin leave? Bias Sheni. So it's interesting that we see the movement away from the Bias in the same way, in the Bias Sheni, as Bias Rishon, but there was no Shekhinah in the same overt way. Remember, the second Bias, there was no Aaron, there was no Shekhinah, there were no overt miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, at least at the end of the Beis HaMikdash, which is an interesting indication because we know that there's a movement from Novi to Chacham, right? The first Beis HaMikdash is sort of the express view of Hashem leaving. In the first Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash, it is not the express version of Hashem leaving, but it's Hashem as manifest in Halacha and as expressed through the Sanhedrin, which is the seat of power which disappeared. When was Rabbi living in Tveria? Just to get a perspective of when this actually occurred finally. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, what year did he live in when he kodesh the Mishnah? The year 200. Okay, so we're talking about almost 150 years after the 130 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is when the Sanhedrin finally stopped operating. Okay? Yes. Yes. Correct.
They're taking that essence with
correct.
Them.
Correct. And there was something left of it.
They're taking right.
Exactly, which gives us a little bit of chizuk for our journey. Exactly. If anyone's interested, just to continue, we did a.
We'll do. Are you guys? Are you guys running out of time? Maybe we'll do just 5 minutes on Derech Hashem, and then we'll hold it again.
Oh, Jeff. Oh, okay, if you turn them around, there we go, that makes sense.